Concerning the Book That Is the Body of the Beloved by Gregory Orr. To feel. Failing that, why live? Might as well be a coffin drifting on a gray flood. The feel of not to feel, that counts too. Anguish is one clear sign we're still here. But we all need help. The beloved's there, and the world also. And then there's the book. Poem after poem, song upon song, and all with the same chorus. Wake up, you're alive. XLVIII. Sometimes happy, sometimes sad. Or the old parable my wife likes to tell. Good luck, bad luck, who knows? We're deep in the mystery of it, and it's deep in us. Loss behind, the unknown ahead, lifting up the light of the poem like a lantern, stepping out bravely into the dark. 49. Or is it loss ahead as well as loss behind? You could think that way, could easily believe that. If so, better pay attention to the moment. It's all you've got. That, and the book. The book which is outside time and inside it also, which has gathered every poem, every particle of the beloved, the bodies whole and complete, palpable and alive, just like this moment. 51. To lose the loved one, is anything worse? To die oneself, not desirable, but far easier than living on past the loss of the beloved. So much of your heart there in the grave. And what comes in to fill the emptiness? Shame at being alive. As if to survive means you betrayed the beloved. Then life is a penance and tastes bitter. You look at the dirt at your feet. You never gaze at a face or lift your eyes toward the night sky. You eat and talk and sleep, but you're really dead. And all the time, the beloved is alive in the book, waiting for you, eager to speak to you, eager to hear all the secrets you've stored up in your grief as if your body was a grave, eager to hear your voice, curious to know why you withheld yourself, why you buried your love. 56. Why should the grave be final? Why should death be everything? Isn't the world wonderful? Don't we want more of it? And in poems, life goes on forever. Life and more life piled up in the book. Intensities and griefs and pleasures accumulating from centuries past for centuries to come. And laughing at the notion of centuries. Laughing not at time, but at the idea of finality. 58. Now the snow is falling even more than an hour ago. The pine in the backyard bows with the weight of it. 2 years ago, my father died. What love we had, hidden under misery, weighed down with years of silence. And now, maybe the poem can release us. Maybe the poem can express the love and let the rest slide to the earth as the snow does now, freeing the tree of its burden. 59. It's winter, and I think of spring. It's dark, and I feel the light that comes out of the body of the beloved, that fills the room as it filled the life. Alone in the dark, you are a body, and the book is another body, is the body of the other, the beloved, which is the world. Time isn't a door that only opens to shut. Time isn't the lamp that's on, then clicks off. Time is the great wheel of it, winter, then spring. Time is the great whirl of it, the dance in which we hold close the body of the beloved, hold tight for dear life. When my kids look for me, I hope they can find me in the house or reach me by phone. When that won't work, I hope they find me in the book, in a poem or a song someone wrote, or in one of my own. That anthology that is the body of the beloved, which is the world. 65. To become the tree, that's easy. To be the flower, not so hard. But to become the beloved, that's not allowed. The distance between you, crucial as the poem that bridges it. That space between your two bodies, no matter how closely pressed, it's essential. It defines what it is to be in the world, surrounded by infinite space, balanced on the point of a pin, spinning there, singing your song. 68. When we're young, there's lots we don't know about the beloved. How he or she is only housed briefly in this or that body. Mostly, the beloved is the world, but we're not ready to see that yet, not able to bear the idea that the beloved won't necessarily gaze back at us with eyes like ours, won't wrap us in his or her arms. We want risk, but comfort too. Comfort most of all. We're still clinging to our loneliness, not yet ready to be alone. 69. To add our own suffering to the world's. Tempting when we're young. Easy to confuse that with love. As if the beloved desired our sacrifice, wanted us to be the moth impaling itself on the candle's radiant thorn. We'd only smother the flame. What the beloved wants is to burn more brightly, to have more life. 72. Of course, a book about living has to be filled with dying, and a book of joy will be full of sorrow. Why else the winter? Why else the bones of trees against the gray sky? But could you stay in winter? Could you brace your shoulder against the great wheel and halt its slow roll? Could you stop a single bush from sending out its new leaves, from flowering? 73. When you are sad, the book grows larger as if to comfort you. When you despair, it can narrow to a single poem. And when joy arrives, hard to read at all, blinking at page dazzle, the words breaking apart into letters, dancing there, unable to calm down. 74. To be alive, not just the carcass, but the spark. That's crudely put, but if we're not supposed to dance, why all this music? 75. Calm down, calm down. But why calm down? When I'm dead and only a poem in the book read by someone not yet born, then I'll be calm. Then I'll tell them, in a quiet voice, what a miracle it is to be alive. I won't shout and jump around. I'll whisper it in her ear. And if I'm lucky, She'll shout and jump around. Her heart will beat a little faster. Time to shut up. Voltaire said the secret of being boring is to say everything. And yet I held back about love all those years, talking about death insistently, even as I was alive, talking about loss as if all was loss, as if the world did not return each morning, as if the beloved didn't long for us. No wonder I go on so. I go on so because of the wonder.